Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
What's up, M&T Bills fan football Friday? Here it is. Hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. I watched Die Hard.
Come on, you did?
No. I did watch that dog show, though.
Jerk. There was a dog show on yesterday?
Yes. The dog show. Really? The dog show has become.
What do you mean, really? Was I supposed to get an email notification to turn on the show?
You're supposed to know. Joe, time for a poll.
I actually did know it was on yesterday.
Shouldn't
too.
You know that there's a dog show on Thanksgiving after that parade? You don't watch the parade. That's the thing.
No, right. Yeah, that is the thing. I have watched the parade, but I did not yesterday.
Yeah. We love the parade.
Is that a tradition that there's a dog show right after the parade?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. The National Dog Show.
Yeah, I did not know that.
They had cardboard cutouts of dogs in the crowd.
Oh my.
And cats. You could buy them. You could, like, you know, probably just like you could have for the Blue Jays when they were here, or any other team, probably.
Sure.
You pay
for
it.
Yeah. I heard, what game was it yesterday? They were talking about how you can pay $150 to get one of those cardboard cutouts in the stands. One of the football games yesterday that had, well, it must have been Detroit, that you can do that, because Dallas actually had like 30,000 people in their stadium.
Is that a good price?
$150 to have a cardboard cutout of you sitting in the stadium all year? No.
No, it's not?
What?
Do you get to keep it and it's when it's over?
I don't know. I would guess yes.
I would guess
no.
I would guess no. They just probably throw them out.
Yeah. Right.
No?
Well, I don't know.
What would you do with it anyway? I'd put one of you in here.
Right.
There should be a cardboard cutout of Bulldog in this studio.
Yeah.
Right, Joe?
We have 100%. Yes,
I think that's something you. It's. I don't know. Is it classified as a knickknack or just a collectible? It's the kind of thing you have maybe in a space like I'm sitting in right now in the attic, even though it's not a sportsy room. But I think if I had one of those, that's where it would go. We do have a cardboard cutout of Owen's face, and it's big. It's in a second floor window facing the street. They did it for the Nichols hockey team for senior day. One of the dads owns a company that does that kind of work, so they made these big. You know, it's, I don't know how big it is. It's maybe two feet by three feet. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Well, seems like a big space eater.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think I'd want, but you know, one of you in here would be funny. Yeah. Put it on the StreamYard later.
Yeah, its own camera.
Have its.
It'd be two Bulldogs.
Have its own camera.
Right. Yeah, it would be like that isn't a Bud Light ad where there's the cardboard cutout of the guy in the stadium, and
yes,
he has these wild travels around the city and then ends up like at the guy's apartment building or something.
Yes.
Yeah, you get one of those of me. That'd work.
I'll
get going on that for you.
We have our aforementioned roundtable. I guess I didn't really exactly mention it, but I mentioned the streaming. On Fridays now from 5 to 6, we go video with our roundtable. Sal is on with Bulldog and me, also Sneaky Joe. You can see our faces and follow our conversation. That's on the WGR Facebook page. I'm actually gesturing to the camera in front of me when I describe this time for no good reason. It's not on yet, but we will have that at 5 today.
Get a little practicing.
Yeah, maybe I'll just, you know, I'm doing it again. Mike Dempsey today at 4, fantasy football, football diehards. Not only are there the requisite decisions to be made with lineups as you get nearer your playoffs in your league, but also with COVID, you have postponements, and here we are again. And now I think we know what the plan is for Baltimore-Pittsburgh Tuesday night. Can we talk about that for a minute or a few minutes here? We've done that early in Tuesday's show and then in the middle of Wednesday's show. What did we actually say? Because last night when the news broke that Lamar Jackson had tested positive, my first thought was, aha! Because of our conversation on Wednesday and even on Tuesday, talking out what we thought might have been happening with that game and then having it be postponed as it was Wednesday. The game was supposed to be played on Thursday night. At one point, you and I talked about, I thought about this and said something about this, but I don't know if I actually like said it. Mm-hmm. That we did say both days. Like it probably depends on who you are on these teams, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, you asserted that. I don't know, like you weren't like standing on a table yelling it, but you said it a couple times, and I think I said I want to take them at their word that won't be the case, because I think you want to take this stuff seriously, but you know there's certainly room to be skeptical about the NFL's motives and what might be driving all this.
Well, I think the number of positive cases on teams, I don't question that. I mean, if it's five guys, it's five guys. If it's one, I wouldn't go so far as to think that the league is being at all dishonest about how many players or staff members are testing positive. It's possible. I mean, they lie all the time. Teams lie all the time about their players and everything. So
sure,
it's possible. But I am not thinking that way. But I do think when it comes to these position group, the close contact sort of deals, and I think that it's quite possible that that's happening, and this goes back to when it happened with the Bills before their game at the Jets. Okay, well, you four guys can't go, but like there's really an important difference between how much time they spent in close contact with, then it was Dawson Knox versus other players in the team. I think they won't cripple a team. But, you know, they want to show and also be doing this, both things, the reality and the perception, that there's a seriousness. So you guys can't play in this game. But, you know, for the most part, your team is your team. With the Ravens, the thought was they will not, on Tuesday, Bulldog, they will not postpone Thanksgiving night football. They just won't. The only way they would is if there's more positive tests. And maybe it has to be certain players, and it probably is only one player in this situation. There's no one else on the Ravens or on most teams but the quarterback where you would have a bigger decision to make. And so when it was announced last night that it was Jackson, I thought, aha, this is that's why they postponed this game. So maybe that's right. I mean, I'm not telling you that I know it.
Do we know it? Yeah, right. I mean, it might be. I don't know what. When did they learn that Jackson was positive? We don't get to know that, do we? Like, if they found out if that was what pushed it over the edge to postpone it, then okay, you know, then I think you've got to some extent a smoking gun, so to speak. There, if they just found out yesterday morning after the game had already been postponed, if he was one of the new positive tests Thursday morning and the game was already postponed, well, then we've got nothing. Then we've got they had already postponed the game and didn't know that Jackson had it. Maybe they suspected strongly that he would test positive. I mean, I don't know. But we don't get to know, I don't think, unless they really, you know, go to work on releasing that information. But I doubt that they would want to, because it could make them look bad. Like, it could make you question, like you are, their motivation for having these games or not having these games, dependent on who it is that's testing positive. If they did do that, I think the Steelers have as much right to be angrier or angry as they were, or even more angry about it happening. I mean, New England had to play without Cam Newton in Kansas City. And, I mean, that game got moved and to Tuesday.
Monday.
To a Monday. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't eligible to play. I don't know what Jackson's status is going to be. I think it's convenient that they don't have to tell us, I don't think, when a player, like, what his timeline is specifically. I don't know if Jackson, like, if he just tested positive yesterday, is he even eligible to play Tuesday?
I'm not sure. I'm assuming no. I'm thinking no. But I still do wonder about Dobbins and Ingram.
Yeah, could they come back by Tuesday now? Because they were early last week, right? Or early this week, excuse me.
They might have been Monday.
Yeah, right.
But it's being reported that they still will not be able to play. So I'm just going to defer to that.
Yeah.
All of them will be out. Even that could be a compromise, though, right? Even that could end up being a compromise. All right, Baltimore. Here's a few more days practice. Figure out who your quarterback is. I guess Robert Griffin wouldn't have been close to Lamar Jackson. The report this morning was that Jackson, they think, contracted COVID-19 in the game against Tennessee last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a report about that today. Whatever. Look, we're talking about how they look in all this. You know, come on, let's be real. We know how this works. We know
they look like they're trying to just jam the games in.
Of course.
Which not worry about the rest later.
Which has been obvious the whole year. Yeah. You know that is priority one. And, you know, I guess it should be. Like, that's what this is. They are going to play. That's a debatable point, whether it should be. It's
sure,
complicated.
I mean,
but
yeah, I mean, you know, good luck. Hopefully you don't come down with myocarditis like Tommy Sweeney.
Yes. Hopefully you don't. This is this is the point, though. You know, they're going to play. And I felt like by this afternoon, Tuesday night was the right option. You have John Harbaugh saying this morning or even yesterday that we're not even opening until Monday. Like, you can't even come back into the facility until Monday. And as of 20 minutes ago, this game was still scheduled for Sunday.
Right.
So, like, it was going to Tuesday. Which, you know, hopefully they can get it in, and there's no more positive tests. By the way, on this topic, but different team, the report is that Adam Thielen will not play in Minnesota's game against Carolina. So you got to, you know, head on a swivel here, everybody.
Yeah, right. I mean, whether you're gambling on these games, picking them just for sport or steak dinners, or putting your fantasy lineups together, like, you're going to have to know what's going on. Like, I trust that by before Sunday at 1 o'clock, you're going to know straight out whether Lamar Jackson is going to play on Tuesday or not. We're thinking it's no.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything definitive been reported on that?
Depends on what you mean by definitive.
The expectation is that Lamar Jackson will not be available. Is
right.
That the sort of wording we're dealing with?
I don't know. If you're asking me what I think he's out.
Yeah.
I can't do much better than that. But it reads like he's going to be out. And the running backs, too, which is, like I said a minute ago, sort of less clear to me. But okay. The Bills do not have this particular problem. They're on. The Chargers have injuries. I mean, I think with this game, there's really, like, tell me why I shouldn't think that the Bills offense is really primed for a good day here. Most of their days have been good days. But it's right. Like, they've got weather is not supposed to be a problem. The opponent gives up tons of points and has a big injury or two on defense, a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chargers can probably score. They do plenty of scoring themselves. I should have, you know, a good high-scoring game here, and I would think the Bills have a, you know, a real good chance of being in the 30s for this game. Maybe they get way ahead and just can take the you know, foot off the gas, so to speak. But I think that it sets up very well for them. Even I feel like more confident about that than I did before the Seahawks game. I guess I did not expect this is the problem with this logic, though. I did not expect the Seahawks on defense to play like they had never heard of or seen the Bills play.
Right.
And they did nothing strategically that made it seem like they were prepared.
Yeah.
But maybe the Chargers won't be that pathetic.
I would expect that they, you know, would be aware that the Bills are prone to throw the ball a lot and not really worrying that much about establishing the run and stuff like that. And that was always weird. It was weird during the game and then after the game, that Seattle game, like how Pete Carroll even sounded about it was like, what are you even talking about here? So, I would suppose the Chargers will be expecting that, but stopping it's another matter. And, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, it's the NFL. The Chargers can score, and if you can score, then, you know, I think, you know, you have a chance to be in the game. So I'm not assuming a victory or even an easy victory, but, you know, I mean, they're 3-7. The Bills are 7-3. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. So, you know, I would expect that, yeah, if their offense has a decent day, they should be able to win the game. It just comes down to whether or not you can get away with without making any mistakes that really cost you, you know, turnovers, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, the Bills are favored and they should be.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll have Sal here from 5 to 6 to break down the game. Bills have a couple of injury developments, including Cody Ford, and we'll do all that. Look at the standings again. Yesterday, nothing changed in the AFC. We didn't have the Baltimore Pittsburgh game, of course. NFC East, though, how about my football team? That's pretty good. Joe, our football. Sorry, Joe. You liked them, too.
Yep, right.
How about that performance?
Yes. It's tough to not pick them now.
How great is it to watch Dallas lose? Can we put that in some sort of a place, ranking things about watching the NFL that are, like, the most satisfying?
It is. I'm torn because I'm just not I don't like the Washington football team either. Like the entire organization, I think, is gross. You know, Alex Smith is a really nice story in the middle of that.
That's right.
But I despise that organization. I mean, I have for a long time, and it's only gotten worse few months. I mean, they're disgusting.
No, they are disgusting. You're right. And when Dallas even maybe wins in Washington, you can also sort of take some pleasure. It's something about the home team. The fact that Dallas is home, you know, in that stadium and Jerry Jones on the little cutaways with his hand over his face.
Right.
Those are great on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you're remembering the Bills doing that last year and other, they've been kind of lousy on Thanksgiving in recent years. You sort of remember that. It's great.
Yeah, I think the pleasure, I do agree, the pleasure of seeing Dallas and especially Jones like that does outrank, you know, my disdain for Washington, I would admit. So, yeah, I mean, that was fun. I don't know what, I never really got back to it. I started cleaning up. We ate late and I looked in, it was like 27-16. And then, should I bring the iPad in the kitchen while I'm cleaning up? And I said, whatever. I'll keep an eye on it. And I don't know. I mean, a few minutes later, I walked in. It was 41-whatever. Yep. I was like, what happened? It wasn't a close game. It was an 11-point game, and then it just exploded.
Yes, Gibson. They scored on defense right after one of his touchdowns. Then it just got really got stupid. I mean, you can like the players. We like Andy Dalton. Right, he's just he's wrapped up in that Dallas thing. I'm not a Dallas hater, like I'm not somebody that would always think this or feel this way. But it is like yesterday they're getting blown out at home like that. McCarthy, I'm not a McCarthy fan. Like it's pretty rich to watch them lose. So yesterday was good for that. Plus fantasy wise, you had I have so many teams like this was almost certain to happen. But Fuller and Gibson. And Watson in the earlier game as well as Fuller. Like, you had some huge days. And so, like, last night I went looking on Twitter for, give me the biggest blowout score out there right now. And the winner was Jeremy, actually. It wasn't one of his teams, but it is one of his leagues. And he showed, what was that score? It was like 110-0 or something like that in his league. I got it here. 112.82-0. That sets up for a nice weekend.
Yeah, that's, you know, a pretty good Thursday. That's a pretty good Thursday.
I think I'm probably wrong because you remember your losses more. And I think I do. But it just feels to me like I'm used to losing on Thanksgiving or just being frustrated that somebody I had didn't score or there was like for some development from the Thursday games. Yesterday, though, I mean, how could you be Elliot? Elliot's the only guy where you could be mad. You know, like even in the Lions game, it was just sort of you got there. Hawkinson, Stafford, even Jones, like it was okay.
Adrian Peterson,
yeah, that's right. Elliot, maybe Lamb, I guess, but Elliot especially. That's sort of how you lost. Otherwise, I mean, look at this Gibson and Fuller for Houston. Huge. Love it.
Yep.
So, again, Mike Dempsey coming up later, too. We'll talk more fantasy with him. Week 12, Bills and Chargers on tap for Sunday at 1. Lines are open for you, 803-0550. Joe and I are watching sports right now. We'll talk about that as well, when we return. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John's a really good player. He's a big part of our offense. So, like with any other situation, you got to have somebody step in and step up. And whether it's Gabe or any of the other receivers, Isaiah McKenzie, Andre Roberts, you know, we expect a lot from them as well.
Sean McDermott on WGR this morning. Check it out, radio.com. Use the app or WGR550.com. On demand audio here, all of our interviews and even entire shows. Happy Friday. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. See, I did. I was in a great mood yesterday, which I was saying to my wife I was confused by a little bit. Like, why am I so happy right now?
Did you question that because you thought you would be sad that people weren't coming over?
No, it really wasn't that, although hosting is work. I'm not a big work guy.
Yeah.
So, I you know what? Good point. That's probably it. I do like hosting, though. I like it once it has started.
Right. Sure, you do. Yeah.
But what I felt this way yesterday was before it would have started, and I felt just, maybe I was just, like, relieved.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there it is work. Like I know I found myself thinking, like I went, you know, sometime around 2 o'clock, like, all right, well, whatever, it's Thanksgiving, I'm watching football, I'm going to go get a beer. And, I you know, went to the fridge and that was the first, I mean, I knew no one was coming over, but when I looked in my fridge, I really knew. Because I would have really stocked up, and I just had like a couple of stray IPAs in there, and like it was not, you know, it was not ready for a party, and I went like, all right, whatever, and then, you know, I just proceeded with my day, but I felt a little bummed out about it as the afternoon wore on. Like around the time the second football game was kicking off, that's usually when everybody starts filling into my house, and it felt a little bummed out about that.
I have to keep reminding myself that this is Thanksgiving Friday, Black Friday, because it is almost always for you and I a different experience. Like it's 7-1-6. Mm-hmm. And there are four college football games on, or basketball games, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of sports on this day, and then a hockey game at night, and we don't have that. There are just college sports happening today. There's also this golf match. Joe and I are into the golf match. It's called The Match.
Manning and Curry against Barkley and Mickelson, is that what this
is? Yes.
The Match 3.
The Match 3, yes. We are watching it in here. I like it. I mean, I can't just really focus on it. I don't have the sound up or anything. But I kind of like this. I like the format, and I'm curious to see how this plays out. Phil Mickelson is, some of you may know this, an accomplished professional golfer. He is somebody, he's won tournaments.
Yeah. Even and some of those big ones. What do they call those?
No, he's even won some of the big ones. And not in a while, but yeah. The other three guys are not professional players.
Nah, Curry's almost a professional player. He's played in professional tournaments and made the cut.
All right, that's a little bit close. All right.
Yeah, like he and his dad do that Lake Tahoe thing.
Well, he's also on the web.com tour.
He's played on, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, what is he, a 2 handicap,
did they say? Yeah, 1 or 2.
And Peyton Manning is good?
No, +1 actually is Curry.
He's a +1?
Yeah, he's a +1.
All right, so like he basically averages 1 under. And so Manning is pretty good. And then it's Charles Barkley, who is the most famous terrible golfer of all time.
Yeah, his handicap is 25, they said.
25, which is probably better than mine right now. If I played enough rounds to qualify, I might be in around that number. He's more famous, though. Everybody knows this about Charles Barkley.
Yeah, he's got like maybe the most preposterously awful golf swing of all time.
It also might be the most notable golf swing of all time. Like the most unique golf swing of all time.
Maybe. Barkley or Furyk? Which one is more famous? I don't know. But it's happening right now, little Friday afternoon, the match. And the format is, so everybody hits a tee ball, and then the partners hit each other's tee ball for their second shot, right? So Mickelson and Barkley are teammates. Mickelson hits his drive. Barkley hits that ball next. They both hit 2 shots.
Okay.
And then I think what I'm seeing is they choose one ball from there, and it's right. Alternate shot all the way into the hole. I think you would want Mickelson to play that third shot most of the time. His drive, and then Barkley second, and then Mickelson goes next to try to get it close. Right? That's probably what you would mostly do?
Sure, yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. The question is, like, you know, does who get, if everybody's hitting a second shot, then do they have to take turns alternating each hole who hits the third one? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you decide on hole one that Phil's going to hit
that
third shot.
That's the right question.
Does Barkley then have to hit the third shot on hole two?
Like, maybe.
That would be fair.
It's either that or what I just described. I'm not sure, which is like whoever's turn it would be on that ball goes there. But we'll see if it can, like, who would you bet on? Would you bet on 2 very good golfers? Or would you bet on a terrible golfer and Phil Mickelson?
I think I might bet on the 2 pretty good golfers.
I would. They were favored.
I mean, Phil can get, like, what you know, Barkley hits a disaster. Okay, Mickelson can probably still work with that, right? He's gonna go find it, and you know, probably get it back in play and then some. Maybe even do something good with it. But you just if you're taking turns, there's just too many opportunities for Barkley to cost you, I think.
Yeah, you want to limit those opportunities. I think that's right.
He's putting pretty well so far, though.
Barkley
holding his own. But, I mean, they're down 1 through 1 hole, and he hasn't looked awful yet. So I don't think that's a good sign.
Here's a drivable par 4. Hole-in-1 wins $5 million. Eagle, $1 million. Within 10 feet, $200,000. win the whole 100,000. That's some real money. I'd play for money like that. I'd love to win money like that. Even if I don't make a hole in one, still, like, if I did, $5 million. Yeah. That'd be great.
Get to be friends with Phil Mickelson. Maybe you'll get a chance.
Get to be really famously bad. Maybe right. I can fall into one of these matches.
That's the trick.
I have had some of the most fun I've ever had playing match play golf. Like, it was so much fun to do this. Three friends and I had an annual game. We called it the Matches, actually. Remember that, Joe? Do you remember hearing about that on the radio or in the news?
I think I recall.
You do?
Yeah.
The four of us would play three different formats, six holes each, two teams of two, six holes each, three different formats. Best ball, alternate shot, and then whatever, some other format. It was so much fun. And the one year it came down to the last putt, my buddy made the putt, and we won in a playoff. Oh, it was a great time. No $500,000.
Right.
I don't even know if we played for anything.
Yeah.
There was a trophy, I think. I'm not sure. But that was a great time. So, yeah, that's on TNT right now. The match three. It's good
background,
as a viewer.
Background sports.
Yes, it's what I'm trying to say is that shot tracer technology, that thing's getting a workout.
Yeah.
Like you watched the Masters a couple of weeks ago, and it occurred to me watching the Masters then that the shot tracer shows you, like, just everybody is amazing. It's just, you know, Dustin Johnson, right? Bomb right down the middle, perfect. Every time it felt like that yellow line that they draw to trace the ball was just perfect.
He's shaping it just as he wants there.
It's an explosion. The ball just powed. It's like right down the middle, time after time after time. In this, you're seeing some shapes with that shot tracer, Joe.
Yeah.
You're seeing some parabolas.
Some bananas.
Yeah, it's getting a workout. This is how you really find out if the shot tracer
is real.
Is even real.
Right.
Yes.
How dependable is it? Yeah,
yes.
Right.
The Masters. Oh, look, a yellow line straight ahead. Wow. You don't even really need it for the Masters because it's usually perfect. For this, though. And also, one thing that's great about this, the combinations of announcers in the coverage. The pregame show was Michelle Wee and Eli Manning. And the commentators for the match, Brian Anderson, who's often play-by-play on TNT, baseball playoffs. He does the Brewers. He's done NFL, college football probably. Brian Anderson, Trevor Immelman, and Andre Iguodala.
That's Andre Iguodala.
Yes.
Nice.
That's the crew. You know, in case they need
I was waiting basketball. For Dottie Pepper there, and instead they got Andre Iguodala.
Yes.
I've noticed they've also cut to Samuel Jackson for his take at home a couple of times so far.
He's like a Barkley guy.
Yeah.
Iguodala would tell you what's up with Curry, probably. Eli, Peyton.
They'll give you the insights into what they're thinking.
Yeah, quite a combination
take you into
of
the locker room. Yeah.
Of guys here, of people for these crews. I like it. Again, so that's on TNT this afternoon. Mike Dempsey, Football Diehards, coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
When we're in the pass game, we've been doing a really good job completing the ball and moving the ball and scoring some points, and they're just trying to take that away, and we understand that, and we know we got to be better in the run game, but we're a team that's willing to do whatever it takes to win a football game. So whether that be passing for X amount of times or running for X amount of times, we're going to try to find a way to win. And then Coach Dable's been doing a good job of that, just finding ways to put us in good positions.
Josh Allen, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. The Baltimore-Pittsburgh game has been moved to Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. So it'll be the second Tuesday night game of the NFL season, the first being Bills-Titans in week 5? 5 or 6?
Yeah, it was week 5.
And also, because Baltimore was scheduled to play on Thursday night next week against Dallas, that game is going to Monday, the following Monday, at 5. And that will be before Bills 49ers. So that Monday when the Bills' next game after this week is at San Francisco on Monday night, the Ravens and the Cowboys will play at 5 o'clock before Bills Niners. and it won't be on the same network. But you might end up having to leave the the Baltimore game against Dallas before it's over to get to the Bills game on time. We'll be, you know, what? It'll be our pregame show.
Yeah, right. And well, 8:15 is the kickoff usually, so that's yep. three and a half, or whatever. Yeah, you might if it goes long, you'd have to get out of there. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
but that'll be something we'll be watching while doing that pregame show that Monday. That does not go to Sunday. That goes to Monday night. A couple more things from the NFL yesterday. We'll have Mike Dempsey from Football Diehards coming up at 4:00. Sal joins us for our regular Friday Dunn Tire Roundtable Hour from 5 to 6 today. Ezekiel Elliott. I mentioned how like it's fun to watch Dallas lose. For most of us, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Elliott. Part of it, it doesn't have to be the Cowboys for this, because when teams these days sign their running backs like this, I mean, I'm ready for it to fail. I'm ready for it to blow up in their faces, especially when you have Prescott there who's really good and they could not get a deal done with him, ended up franchise tagging him twice, right?
Or just once? Yeah, just this year
okay.
so far, yeah.
Elliott got his contract. He is at $19.8 million this year. Dead cap is over $24 million next year. He's 25 now. It's not just that they're losing and that they have him here. It's that he's not doing well.
He doesn't even look great anymore. I mean, you're to the point now where Troy Aikman is just kind of plainly observing that he doesn't think he's got the same... He's not the same player anymore. He doesn't have the same burst. He must have said that. I mean, and I wasn't taking notes, but he made that point at least a couple of times yesterday during the broadcast. I don't know. You know, I'm not charting Elliott to that extent, so I don't know. You know what Aikman is. You know how he's arriving at that conclusion. But you know, that's nowhere you want to be with a player you're paying that much money to at a position where, you know, I don't know. Isn't his backup just as good?
Aren't they all?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not charting Aikman either, but he's almost definitely wrong about that. It's just more like a sort of an eye test. It's easy. Well, his production's down. He probably said the same thing about Todd Gurley when he was playing for the Rams. Like, he's getting tackled all the time now. Must be he's just a different player. Or they had huge holes open for Elliott. He's great, too. You know, if you need a couple yards in the red zone, he's always been one of the best at finishing drives. And he can still get you 2 yards or, you know, whatever now, but you're not seeing the rest of it. You're not
right,
seeing...
Whatever edge they had up front is gone.
It's destroyed.
I mean, they had for years, it was like high pick after high pick that they invested in up front, and almost none of those guys are playing, and even Zach Martin, who was an all-pro guard, was starting at tackle yesterday, and then he got hurt. Like real early in that game, and so he went out. But they're missing. Yeah, there was a retirement, I think, and then they've got injuries. Like Lyle Collins is a part of that. They're down talent up front, and that obviously impacts you know your running back, whether he's elite or whether he's you know whatever, just a journeyman.
It makes your running game.
Yeah,
it just makes it, and anybody behind a great offensive line is good. And anybody behind a terrible offensive line is bad when it comes to running backs. And the Cowboys, like, this is not Gurley. This is even true of Gurley, I would say. What year would that have happened? Was that in 18 or even 17 where he got his contract? Elliott was 19. 6 years, $90 million last year. And, like, you knew. Everybody knew, I guess, I think. Maybe not teams. But, like, we all knew by then that was a bad idea. And so that happened anyway. That happened after we had all the information, and you've got the Prescott matter, and you've got Cooper, right? Like, phew, terrible. And so you've got probably at least one more year there. He can, if they build the line back up and it falls right and Prescott's back and throwing the ball around like he does, then
right.
Elliott
yeah.
could be fine. But
right, all those guys that I was talking about, like most of them, there's one, I think Frederickson maybe is the guy I'm thinking of that retired.
Travis Frederick?
Frederick, thank you, yes. But those other guys will come back, you know, so they can still put that put that line back together, but they're just not going to help them this year.
It's just that the solution or the outcome is just always don't pay your running back, right? Like, if your line is shot, your running back is shot. If he's great, anybody can do it. You know, why teams ever do this? Elliott is marketable, like he's a star there, and maybe that has something to do with it. But I love when teams like this make these sort of bad decisions. And one thing so satisfying about this Bills season is how many smart things we've seen them do in game day strategy and in the roster. Really nice to see. So, good luck. Mike McCarthy, Ezekiel Elliott, and that contract. Zach Martin, by the way, was mentioned in Tyler Dunn's article that we talked about with him on Wednesday at his new site, golongtd.com, because Martin was in that draft, the Watkins draft. Is this not right? He was in that draft, and it was mentioned. Tyler wrote how somebody, I don't remember who right now, but that he was a consideration for the Bills when they ended up trading up for Watkins.
Oh, wow.
Marone wanted offense. Marone didn't want Khalil Mack. Any Bills fan who hasn't read Tyler Dunn from Wednesday on Allen and the recent, many of the important moves in recent Bills history needs to do that. Marone didn't want Khalil Mack. He was like the one voice in the room feeling that way because he wanted offense. And so they didn't do that, but then they got to Watkins. There was a point in there about Beckham. Eric Ebron was the likely guy that they would have gotten had they stayed at their position. And Zach Martin is mentioned in that section of that article as well. All right, so next, Mike Dempsey, Football Diehards, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. It is M&T Bills Fan Friday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.